Let's pick up our paraclesis a journey. As I said, we had a break last Sunday, but we are halfway through. And as Sue's just reminded us, we've thought about caring, we've thought about loving, we've also thought about journeying together. We thought about these here on a Sunday morning, we've thought about it in home groups, in various conversations. And I know it's raised questions, it's stimulated lots of ideas, it's made people think deeply about things that maybe they hadn't thought about for a long time. And one of the things we're trying to get our heads around now is how can we adopt some of the ideas that we've been talking about and how we can make them into an ongoing part of the life of the church in a deeper way than we have so far. If you've got any thoughts about that, please do let me know. Just to flag something up, this series itself comes to an end on the 4th of June. So that's a couple of Sundays away. But with some of the questions that it's raised and some of the ideas that have come out of that, we're going to take a bit of time over the following weeks to just carry on reflecting on it a bit more. More details about that later. But today, we're thinking about the big question of life and the choices that we make. And we thought about some of that earlier. But I'm reminded of some words of Moses. Moses was one of the great leaders of the people of Israel. And as he comes to the end of his life and he speaks to the people that he's led for 40 years, he wants to give them something to remember. He wants to encourage them. He wants to point them in the right direction. He wants them to leave the wilderness they've been wandering around in for the last 40 years and to go into the land that God has promised to give them. And so he says this: "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." He's saying, look guys, you've been doing this for 40 years, but there is another opportunity. There is a possibility to go on into something wonderful, into something great that God has prepared for you. But you've got to choose. And just as the people of Israel had been on a journey, and they came to that moment where they had to make a choice, so we have been reminded, particularly a couple of weeks ago, that life itself is a journey. And sometimes being on that journey involves making choices about having breakfast bars. Sometimes it's useful to have people to come alongside us to act as guides, not necessarily in that case, and to provide helpful insights into our situations and the decisions we are facing. A few years ago, Joe and I went with a group of people on a trip to Israel. And we were going around seeing some of the famous sites in that country. And we were privileged to have a very good Israeli guide called Yehuda with us. I'd read about most of the places we visited. I knew the stories of what had happened at those places. But Yehuda had a deep knowledge about them. He'd studied them for years. He'd visited them many times. And he was able to point us in the right direction, to show us things we would want to see, to keep us on the right track. He added so much to our experience as we did that trip together. We became friends as we talked and as we shared together. He was someone who was able to give us a deeper insight and guide us into that particular journey. And sometimes it's good to have people to come alongside us and guide us. And as we've seen over the last few weeks, it can take time. It's important to develop a relationship. It's important to show we care. It's important to show that we love in a real and meaningful way. But sometimes we get to that point where it's right, where it's important to offer encouragement and guidance. Paul spoke about this when writing to the church at Thessalonica. "For we know, you know," he said, "that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." And the word encouraging is yet another translation of our paraclesis word. This is part of what is involved. We don't want to leave people where they are. Just as Moses didn't want to leave the people of God wandering around in the wilderness, we want them to be able to deeply experience the love of God and to live the sort of lives that he calls us to live. We're not just called to let people know what they should do based on our great wisdom and knowledge and insights. We are called to encourage them, to affirm them, and to point them to a deeper relationship with God. So how do we live the sort of worthy lives that Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians to live? What sort of life should we be aiming for? What sort of life should we be encouraging others to enter into? And to help us answer that, we're going to look very briefly at three of the ways that Jesus spoke about life. He told a story of a man who went to sow seed, and some seed fell on into thorns, and some seed fell onto a path, and some seeds were eaten up, and some seeds fell on good ground. And he comments on one of them. He says, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." And Jesus knows that there are daily challenges of life, things we all need to engage with. And he knows that the problems and difficulties of life can take hold of us and drag us down, can make it difficult to go on. Sometimes he talks about what's inside us. He gives this challenge: whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Whoever is prepared to be led and guided by Jesus, whoever is prepared to devote who they are and what they do to Jesus, they will experience a fullness and richness in life that is impossible in any other way. And this reminds us that who we are on the inside changes how we cope with life on the outside, as our motives and agendas influence what we do. And sometimes when Jesus speaks about life, it's got greater and more powerful dimensions. Jesus said once, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And here he's speaking about a different kind of life, a life that we can only find through Jesus. Jesus also talked about coming that people might have life and have it to the full. And the idea here is that the life Jesus offers is the only type of life that's worth living, that the only life that is how life is meant to be lived. And when we come alongside someone and journey with them and try and be there for them, we have the opportunity to help them find direction in each of these different aspects of living, how to cope with the challenges of life, thinking through who we are as individuals and what is important to us, thinking about how we live in relationship with God. And with those thoughts in mind, let's look at the story that Maureen read earlier of the man waiting by the side of a pool to be healed. We find it was near the sheep gates. It does what it says on the tin. It was a gate in the walls where sheep came in. Sheep would have been brought in to be taken to the temple and for other purposes. That's what it was for. But there was a man there. He'd been there for a long time. He'd been unable to walk for 38 years. Just think about that for a moment. If we're ill and have to rest in bed for a few days, we can quickly get a bit bored and frustrated as we're not able to do the things that we want to do. If we've got something more seriously wrong with us and I need to spend a few weeks in hospital, people talk about how really tedious that can become, with nothing to do, nothing to focus the mind, nothing to get interested in. You may have seen a report last month about someone staying in hospital for 4 years after being told he was fit to go home. But somehow he got missed and he ended up staying in hospital for 4 years. Can you imagine what that would have been like? But this man had been disabled, unable to do much, for 38 years. That's more than some of us have been alive. And this reality, this disability, had a defining influence on how he spent his life. It would have been a busy place, a noisy place, probably a place where you had to shout to make yourself heard. It was a dirty place with shepherds bringing sheep in, taking them to the pool, washing them before they went on to the temple or whatever. And he wasn't there on his own. There were lots of other people with their own problems and issues, sharing his reality, going through what he was experiencing. There would have been recognition of each other after being there for so long, but not a place of deep friendship and joy. It was a place of uncertainty and competition, as they were each looking intently at the pool in the hope that an angel would come down and stir up the water, with the idea being that when that happened, the first one in would be healed. A bit like queuing up outside of shops, you get the best sales when they open the doors on New Year's Day. There'd been a daily battle to get the best place next to the pool, and people living in hope that today would be the day when their world, when their lives would change. But for most people, those days would end in deep disappointment as they found themselves in exactly the same position as when they started. And I want to suggest that this picture applies to many people today who know life isn't what they wanted it to be and are hoping that tomorrow will be better. Why so many people buy lottery cards. Why people strive for that next promotion. Why they try and get a better position in life. Seeking happiness, often being disappointed. And even if we're generally happy with life, we can find it's busy with little time to focus on what is truly important. And Jesus comes into that situation. To this disabled man, lying by this disappointing pool, surrounded by a busy life, and speaks to him, asks him a question, gives him a choice. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" What a question. Jesus was speaking into his inner life, into his spirit, into his soul, and he was asking him if he wanted his world, his reality to change. And even with this brief insight into his life, this life of suffering that he'd endured for so long, it is easy to assume that his immediate answer would have been an enthusiastic, a positive yes, maybe shouted out to the top of his voice so that Jesus wouldn't miss the answer. But that doesn't happen. Instead, he tries to explain to Jesus why it's not possible. "Well, you see, there's no one to help. I'm alone. You don't understand." It's as though he'd given up. He'd become resigned to his situation. He knew that someone would always get into the water ahead of him. Someone had pushed the pause button on his life, and that's where he thought he was going to stay. Instead of saying yes to Jesus, he explains how he's become a victim of the pressures of the reality of life. Not just everything that had been going on around him, it had affected him deep down inside. He was a prisoner. He couldn't escape. And sometimes, when we seek to journey alongside people, this is the reality we will find. Their difficulties, their challenges, their struggles are very real. And this needs to be recognised. But these have become the things that define them. They see no future, no hope, no prospect of change. And by journeying with them, we can have the opportunity to encourage them to face up to the reality of that, to realise that there are different options, that life can change. The situation may stay the same, but life can change. And Jesus confronts this man with a call to change. Jesus could have heard the story. He recognised the pity that was consuming this man and thought, "I'll leave him to it." But instead, he doesn't do that. He doesn't argue with him. Tells him to do something which on the face of it was impossible. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." It was asking an awful lot. The man knew he couldn't walk. He'd proved it for 38 years. But his choice came down to whether he was going to be obedient to what Jesus had told him to do. And sometimes people need people to come alongside them, to help them to respond to what God is calling them to be and to do. Journeying together can sometimes involve helping people move on from a place of being stuck into their lives into a new and better situation. It doesn't mean we carry people. Jesus told the man to pick up his mat and walk. It doesn't mean we force people to move on. They need to make that choice. But we can be there for them, and we can encourage them as Jesus did. Let's think for a moment about choices in life. You know, we don't always choose what happens to us. Sometimes what happens is a consequence of our choices, and we need to take responsibility for that and cope with it. Sometimes what happens is totally outside of our control, and we need to recognise that bad things can happen to any of us. But we can choose how we respond to what life throws at us. Whatever the circumstances, we can make choices. Life, as we saw earlier, is a series of choices, and those choices end up defining and shaping the people we become. And we've all made many choices in our lives. Some we are happy with, some we may regret. But the amazing thing is that whatever choices we've made in the past, today we can choose to live. As Moses called the people of Israel to choose to live. After nearly 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses was saying, that can change. You can enter into a new life. And in the same way as Jesus invites people to live in the power of his life, to experience the fullness that he came to bring. We all know that choices have consequences. And sometimes we have the privilege of coming alongside people who are living with the consequences of making a bad choice. And we can help them find a new direction and help them make new choices in their lives. We can choose to live the life that God wants us to or not. At the end of the story, Jesus finds this man at the temple and says to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Jesus had called the man to make a choice. He'd chosen to be obedient to Jesus, and his life, his situation had totally changed. But what about what was going on inside him? What choices had he made there? All we've seen so far is the outward change. But now Jesus puts a further challenge to him, gives him a further choice. Coming alongside people, journeying with them, trying to help sort out some of the external issues they face is a good thing to do. But we're also called to help people think about what's going on inside, because that's what really matters. That's where change comes from. If we can help people realise that and help them make right choices, then their lives can be changed forever. Their lives can be changed for good. As long as the man in the story thought of himself as a victim, his life was never going to change. He had no hope. But as soon as he recognised that there was an option that he was being presented with, as he recognised that he had the power to choose, to respond to God, to pick up his mat and walk, even though he didn't know how it was going to be possible, everything from that moment on was different. Our privilege, as we journey with others, is to help them get to a point where they can hear God's call on their lives and respond and choose to follow and find a new direction and purpose in life. It's an amazing thing to be able to do. As Sue was reminding us earlier, let's take opportunities to come alongside people, to show that we love, to show that we care about the things that are going on around them, but to show that we care for what is going on inside and to seek to point people to respond to Jesus.